effectively in helping people with portfolio building, wealth and capital preservation, I refer to it as. I have a fairly strong background in the money world. I've been fortunate enough for God to walk me down a pretty interesting path over the years. I've seen the good, bad, the ugly. I've had the fortune of watching different markets come and go. I know, you know, I've got education in mathematics and economics and financial stuff. A successful career in like banking and actuarial stuff, and I've done a few other things. I guess it's all relative, or it's a matter of opinion, but a fairly successful business ownership. I've had Coins Plus, you know, officially open for, I don't know, 20 some years. I started officially, I guess, in the coin stuff in 96. There was an overlap there where I was still a regional manager for Bank of America, which was, when I look back, it was a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful time and a great experience, and God was super faithful to me. We went through a lot in our lives, and my wife and I have had our experiences, and we've dealt with, you know, all kinds of medical stuff with her rheumatoid, and, you know, we've had poverty, literally bad, terrible, where we were living in absolutely utter dire terrible, you know, but all those things build you and build character. And there's different mindsets of people. Some, you know, entitlement is the most dangerous thing there is. And in addition to that, I think what's happening with our youth now is they're being anesthetized by social media, and they're numbing out. They have this little tiny microcosm of the world, and it has nothing. You ask young kids, and by young I mean 30s and under, ask them what's going on in your local community, what's going on nationally. All they know, and I talk to them, and all they know is what's on that stupid phone, you know. And Mark Zuckerberg designed, you know, a system when we had, when there was a movie about Facebook a long time ago, the story of how it started, and they said something really interesting. And they said, in one form or another, there's huge money in sex, drugs, or rock and roll, okay? I mean, you've always heard that term. Maybe you haven't. I'm old. But it's like, you know, you're like, ooh, Kevin, don't say sex. I mean, sorry, but it's a reality for every person on earth in one form or another, you know? And it sells. And that's what Mark Zuckerberg originally said, is that he called it sex because it was connecting people, which had never occurred before. Facebook started out on the Harvard campus, and then it moved to the Ivy League schools, and then of course, you know, from there it covers the whole globe. But it started out as kind of a cloaked dating site. Now people do this swiping. Have you seen this stuff? I mean, it's like, it's terrible. This is where we get, and some of the internet bullying that goes on, I mean, people, girls especially, are just treated so crappy. I saw a young kid a while ago that I was around, and I corrected him, hopefully, but, you know, I can't remember. They rate girls on this, from their school, you know, love them, hate them, marry them. I don't remember what it was, but it was public, you know. These things are not good, they're not appropriate, and parents need to know what's going on with their kids. They can't minimize it and just write it off and brush it off. I mean, we all go through this thing. I remember my son, you know, he was a fireball, trust me, and I don't know where he got it, but I, you know, I'm just kidding. My wife and I were both super hyperactive like that. And luckily, both of us were fun-loving, and so we were getting in trouble from the time we were little. And I was bouncing off the walls like a pinball. But my son had a little lightning in him, too. And I remember a situation when he was, like, in junior high, before I moved him to a Christian school, where, you know, he was just swearing to me that something was true, that he didn't do it. Well, guess what? And I went to the school and I was defending my son. And on the way driving there, I'm like, look, if there's anything I need to know, man, if you're not telling me the truth, let me know, because I don't want to look bad. And he lets me hang myself out, and there it is. You know, I'm like that. So, and I'm telling you 100%, I was sure my son would not lie to me. And guess what? They all do. That's where I think teachers and staff, administration gets frustrated with parents a little bit. Not that they're all perfect, but the thing is their kids are not perfect, you know? And these parents come in. The hardest part a lot of times with schools is the parents. It really is. And a lot of them are micromanagers, and they're too, you know, they're too tending to little Tommy too much. And I've run into that with situations trying to hire people coming out of high school and stuff. They don't even know how to lift a finger. And they, I'll tell you what, hunger drives. There are some people that come out of excessive opulence, you know, wealth and riches, that get really successful. But in general, success comes out of deprivation. It comes out of hunger, and it comes out of need and want and desire, when you know what you don't have and you want it. And I know there's different measurements for success. I was always very business oriented. I was unable to focus my mind on something that was pertinent until I got out of college and started getting the banking stuff. And it was just up my alley. I just loved it. But before that, you know, I went and got myself a degree in what is now a master's of science in applied math and statistics, because I just wanted to challenge my mind. That's how my mind worked. And I mean, it was dumb. It took me five times the work. Everyone else was busy having fun, and I'd be studying like a mad fool and, you know, working full time and all these things through college while my wife was in bed with extreme severe rheumatoid. But those things build character. They do. We all look back and, you know, and we all have a great story. Life is a journey. I think what's really important, I wax philosophical when I'm on my own a lot. And what's super pertinent is empathy. You have to empathize. And, you know, frankly, humans in general judge. We stand from a point of judgment often. And you have to understand, it is crystal clear, folks, you are not them and they are not you. And why is it that the more miserable a person is, the more that they want to criticize traits in another person to make them themselves, which would be terrible? You know, and you have the yin and the yang, and, you know, like the Chinese have, you know, it's the balance of the universe. You know, I've talked about that. And believe me, I'm a strong believer in Christ and everything. But God created this amazing system. Don't be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever you reap, you sow, you know, and for every up, there's a down. You look back at, I've mentioned over, you know, in Pharaoh's time, when Moses is there, these guys are chucking their sticks down, turn them to snakes. And it's like there's never been a time that I'm aware of that pure holiness and righteousness has ruled the earth. I don't know what God's natural laws are, but I'm starting to think that there's a balance. Like it's like there's consequences for actions, and it's like for every up, there's a down. And so, but we still have to fight for what's right and good. And God designed a system where we have this continuous contention. Why? A lot of reasons. One, you don't become complacent, hopefully, but that's what I was saying is going on with social media. Two, you have to work your way through things to grow. I don't know why God wants us to grow like that. Why, if we're going to heaven, are we here struggling? I don't know, but there's a reason, and it's going to be written in the, you know, 7D, seven-dimensional space of heaven with the whole museum of the history of all the good things you've done. you know, to show where God intertwined and entangled different relationships magically and, you know, mysteriously and wonderfully and magnificently. But the thing is, we have to be out pushing snow. We've got to be digging. We've got to be working. We've got to stand up. We've got to tell the truth. And we can't, one thing you'll see Christians, I guess, because that's my audience here, that'll, they really get hung up on what everyone else is doing. They're really not molding and mending and growing themselves. They get bitter, they get angry, they get frustrated, you know, and when we each need to look at ourselves, it's like Jesus said, why do you pay attention to the speck in your brother's eye when you have a log in your own? And he basically says, if you get figure out how to get the log out of your eye, then you can help your brother remove the speck from theirs. Empathy, folks, is as time goes on, as I get older, you know, Dale Carnegie's How to Win Friends and Influence People, which I really don't like the name of the book. The book's phenomenal. I don't like the name because it kind of appeals to the flesh, but the book's nothing like it. It's one of the greatest books I've ever read. And it's all about empathy. It's about stepping in other people's shoes. And there's people that just, I don't know why, you know, people that have trauma or some kind of heartbreak growing up or whatever, they really get a chip sometimes. When in reality, it's insecurity. But then it makes it hard for them to step in other shoes. I don't know. I'm not a psychologist. You know, I have had my life experiences. But empathy, empathy, empathy. You got to really think. How does that person feel? When people are making big mistakes and blowing it by our standards, it's easy for some people. The non-doers are like, hey, just change this, do this. Be like me, you know. Go to work 8 to 5, come home, sit in your lounge chair, whip the newspaper open, go to Bible study, show up, be mediocre, go home, go to bed on time every night, get up early, go back to work. You know, I mean, is that what God's existence is all about? Are we supposed to find this mediocre situation where there's no stress? You know, I talk a lot about how we spiral inward or we spiral outward. This is something God showed me. You are dynamic. Each one of you is dynamic. You may be handicapped. You may have all kinds of stuff going on. Doesn't matter. God knows everything about you, loves everything about you, truly created you. And I've discussed the fact I get frustrated sometimes because I think I have such a strong comprehension of numbers and magnitude, and I'm like, 8 billion people, how could the Lord ever, well, I don't know, how about, you know, 6 trillion stars, 6 trillion, I mean, that's so far beyond your or my comprehension, I don't even know what it means, but we've got Christ, you've got a guy, you got a good connection, there's this guy that came, died, by the way, predicted his death, burial, and resurrection. Now try that one. You might have a lot of willpower, but you're not bringing yourself back from the dead. Then you add that to the lineage of the history of Judaism. I mean, there's no religion like it. There's nothing sensible out there. Islam showed up in 585 AD. Now, you can look up anything on the web, debunked, anything that totally emphasizes the factual aspects of Christ and the Bible in Judaism, debunked, that's not exactly what it says, you know, and so what do you got, some Google, one of Google's 2,000 PhD scholars whose job is to go debunk, you know, I mean, come on. And I'll tell you factually, I have met so many quote-unquote theologians that are horrible because you cannot know the Word of God without knowing God, and you cannot know God without accepting His Son into your heart. You just can't do it. It's the way it is. I spent years trying to read the Bible. I didn't have a clue. And once I accepted Christ, bang, all of a sudden I'm reading my mail. It's for me. I don't know how that works. It's interesting because it's exactly the opposite of what we think as humans. As humans, we want to trudge our way through life and push. And folks, I'm going to offend some people out there. The Catholic Church is the great violator. They're the great violator in a lot of ways. There's ways they're not. I'll back up. Because there's a lot of great things, foundational aspects that they've done. You know, hospitals and people really criticize colonization and all this. But, you know, so they put the groundwork in, and then Protestants will come in and do their thing. And I've met a few Catholics that are just on fire for Christ. A priest here recently who was amazing, he's like, I'm traditional Roman Catholic. That guy knew the word of God like no one, but he loved God. You know, that they're out there, that's fine. I'm just saying the church in general, it adopted, it consumed paganism and Judaism and Christianity. Constantine did it for popularity and control of the masses. Paganism, if you're not aware, is basically, call it what you want, it's anti-Christian, anti-God. It's bizarre. It's, you know, and it's interesting, paganism, it's another worship form. There's really no such thing as an atheist. This is my belief, and boy, do they get mad. But there's not. They've got some aspect of God in their heart or minds. Otherwise, why do you have to disprove something that doesn't exist? Why do you have to argue with people? You know, if people were like, you know, behind the moon, there are a trillion red balloons. Would you meet people that were livid, like, there's no red balloons? And I'm gonna, you know, anger and frustration and hostility. Why? It's like, you, if there's no red balloons, we have the imagination and ability to create in our minds and believe things. They'd be like, dude, you're whacked. Get away from me. But the atheists are actively recruiting all the time. And they're claiming First Amendment rights to hate God. I have a First Amendment right to reject and hate the God of the Bible. And then this garbage is coming out now where people are like, I've heard this stuff. Well, our founders weren't really Christians, and they misquote one little verse, or I'm sorry, one little paragraph or sentence. It's like, come on. This country was built by God, for God, of God, with God, and yes, by the people, for the people, and of the people. And that's what you need to realize. This governmental system that we're all subjected to is a problem. It is exceedingly problematic. It is not, there's no power of the government. Things have been abused beyond abuse. Recently, the wonderful state legislature here in Washington, the People's Republic of Washington, just passed a bill. They voted 28-20. To eliminate, outlaw the sale, distribution, and blah, blah, blah of high-capacity magazines for guns. And then they have this liberal gal expert, and they did a study. And they showed that in states, you know, I don't even know if it's in states, it's just rubbish, that, you know, reducing high-capacity magazines, the access to them, reduces the number of people killed in mass shootings. That gun, folks, is apparently in their mind, in the liberals' mind, these radical Marxists is what they are. Because I know liberals that hunt and have guns, and I know, you know, they just, it's not cool among their masses. But, I mean, these radical lefties, they have this idea that you take an AR-15 and, oh, they have to attack those all the time because they look mean. They look real mean. They don't look mean. They only look mean because you watched a movie or something, you know. They are what they are. No one ever speaks up and goes, they are designed the way they're designed because it's a good design. That's what engineering does. That's what humans do. You know, we're going to reduce guns, and it's all garbage. It's trash. In their mind, there's this AR-15, you know, picture this, and it floats around. And it has its own personality, its own life. And that gun goes around and shoots people. And if you can just reduce the power of that gun that's floating through the air killing people, if you can reduce what's in it or what's on it, then you're going to save people. Folks, it ain't the gun doing the killing. Wouldn't you think? See, it's just political rhetoric, and they've taken our system, which is supposed to be a system of congressional and Senate rollover to keep the body fresh, and we have lifetime politicians, career politicians, that are just, they have to have a crisis all the time. Hegelian dialectic. They have to constantly have a crisis, and then their base is like, oh, good job. It's not enough, but it's sure a step in the right direction. You know, here in Washington, I shouldn't even say this, but you can have suppressors, silencers on your gun. But you can't have a clip of 10 or more bullets now. Or, you know, I mean, this is, it's foolishness. It isn't addressing the problem. I agree. Here's the deal. I got my opinions, and there's about six people out there that probably care, but I'm kidding. But it's not the gun that's doing the killing. If you're so concerned about the mass shootings, why don't you get an unbiased, unpolitical research report? And that's the whole point. That was my education and background. My educational background is applied mathematics and statistics. It gets deep and it gets heavy, and you can microanalyze research studies to a degree you wouldn't even believe if you saw the statistics that exist. It's so far beyond comprehension. It's just like physics, you know, the ability to explain the shape and motion and movement of everything. It's just, math is phenomenal. And if they really cared about all these people getting killed, they would do an in-depth, unbiased, keyword, non-political study and find out, why are these people doing this? What is going on? I mentioned in the past this website called SSRI Stories, Selective Serotonin Reuptake Inhibitor Stories, aka antidepressants. And I know there's people out there on them. I just, you know, hired a guy here a little while ago that didn't work out because he was on that stuff. I've had a handful of employees on those things. They put Teflon on your brain. I don't know what, you know, they're affecting your serotonin and whatnot. But all these mass shootings, I mean, literally, I think all of them that I've been aware of, in some form or another, have that aspect involved. Either they went on them in the last X amount of time, they went off of them in the last amount, X amount of time. You know, it's always, there's always a transitional phase with those SSRIs. I don't know. And then what about video games? I mean, we've got this stuff, folks. Do you know how real these kids? I was speaking to a guy who is works up at Geiger, and he used to head up the SEER program, which is the search or something survival, evasion, avoidance, and rescue. It's for if you get abandoned, stranded, you're living out in the woods, out in the desert, eat this, do that, sleep like this, protect yourself like that. And he said they're getting kids in the military that have never handled a weapon before in their lives, a real one. And because of these video games, they can disassemble and reassemble a gun. They know what the components and parts are right out of the box. They're able to adapt to shooting accuracy relatively well with a pretty good level of acumen. They're, you know, but then he said they've got, you know, they've got decent form but bad habits, and they've had to work, he said, on they've had to create special technical training to remove bad habits that kids have gotten from video games with guns. I mean, this stuff is impacting a lot of people. And you sit there on these games, I've never played one. I mean, I guess I'm dumb. I mean, as far as that goes. I mean, you see these druggies and these drug houses, they sit around and play video games all day, and I mean, I just, whatever. I haven't played these games, and so I'm not, I am, maybe I'm speaking out of turn, but you sit there and you blow people away. I've seen them. Boom, bang, boom. You're going, you're running around, you're doing this, you're shooting these guys and dropping grenades and blowing people up. And these kids get hyper-confident, and he said, this guy said, this is driving a lot of these certain-minded kids into the military. They're having the highest rate of Section 8 rejections or Section 8 removals, dishonorable, it's not always dishonorable, but discharge for mental disorders than ever. And, I mean, you add it and you stack it up. They've got kids, you know, you get my point. They're kids on meds. They've got these addictions to video games. They got all this crazy stuff going on. And they're mentally not doing okay. And that's what's behind this stuff. I mean, in general. And then there's some bizarre stuff. The Mandalay Bay shootings. That was the weirdest thing ever. I mean, you had prior employees saying, the exact room that guy was in was the one room that had access to these huge columns next to the elevators where you had ingress and egress through these huge grates in this suite. And there's just a lot of it, a lot of conspiracy about what really happened there. A guy with no record, no history, no correspondence with anyone, you know, about anything political or anything, just suddenly out of the blue starts picking off people at a concert in the middle of the night from the Mandalay Bay. And then when they finally enter his room, he's dead. Oh, darn it. You know, and there's so many stories about people seeing like Arab looking guys coming in and out of the elevator shaft. And, you know, it's ugly. There's so many things. So many of these FBI arrests pertaining to terrorist actions they're constructed by the FBI. That's not a conspiracy. That's a darn fact. Look it up. Every one of these guys, they get, you know, the shoe bomber. Now we can't wear shoes on and, you know, through security, and it's just always more, 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 more. But we're constructing this stuff. We're living in an altered reality, per se. And we have to be well aware of that. And I honestly did not intend to go down that road. But I do believe every now and then the Holy Spirit gets a grab on me, and that's what happens. So who knows? Maybe somebody heard something worth a hoot there. Along a similar line, I think one thing that's kind of on my mind, I've been looking at and kind of researching, is this Ukraine stuff with Russia. You know, okay, so Putin is threatening. Well, he's got half of his forces lined up at Ukraine, ready to go to war. He is going to invade. We hear this stuff out of the White House about, you know, if he does this, we're going to impose some really mean sanctions. Won't say what they are, but they're mean. They're going to hurt real bad. Just to the, you know, certain regions of this and that, and we have sanctions on certain regions in China where the Uyghurs are, because it's slave camps, slave labor. You got these NBA guys, over 50 of them, have these huge multi-million dollar contracts with these Chinese clothing manufacturers that are literally involved. There's nothing that happens over there of significance without government involvement. These guys are literally involved with the government, and they're involved with these slave labor camps. And then you get these same black NBA players that are yelling Black Lives Matter and social justice and, you know, bow or whatever, kneel at the anthem, and then they go sell out to avowed communists. I mean, you just need to know what you know. Just because a communist can be really nice and con you doesn't make him a good guy. You get Rodney, whatever the guy was, oh, I forgot, the big basketball player is all tattooed up, that goes and met the, you know, the prime minister or whatever of North Korea. That kind of stuff is just, we just accept it. It's all Hollywood. It's all, you know, presentation and image and getting attention and adding more zest to their name, and they want to be in the limelight. This stuff's crazy, folks. There's wrong and there's wrong. Our country should not be allowing these things. They're forms of treason. The absolute maximum form of treason is Biden. I mean, I know, oh, it's politics, and yeah, it is, folks. I mean, we've become a nation. Maybe it's human nature, but for some reason, we can't admit when we're wrong. We can't admit when we're on the wrong side and we've made a wrong choice. And I know people that are lefties that can't, now, here's the new thing with lefties. Oh, I just don't even watch the news anymore. I just got sick of it. I don't like it anymore. Well, of course you don't. Because you're not hearing what you want to hear. You turn on CNN and it's like a tangled mess of confusion. You can just hear the stress in their voices. I've watched it lately. You know, they're melting down. Lies don't last. I don't care who you are. You know, it's propaganda. Everything. China, Russia, historically, Nazi Germany, they all fall. Propaganda is propaganda. Propaganda is lies peddled to the people. But why do we like lies? I used to say, you know, people would rather be lied to than told the truth. It's more convenient. I mean, if you talk to someone who's 250 pounds overweight, they want you to tell them they look great, right? I mean, we all like that. But we also, by the way, I'm not giving anyone permission to go verbally abuse anybody. Please be kind, be loving. But you get my point, is like, I've seen that over the years. People want to hear baloney. I've sat around groups of people. You know, I remember when I was in banking, I had an unlimited expense account, and I'd take these people out for dinners and drinks and listen to them just spew garbage to each other that was baloney. It was just baloney, and they love it. Someone pops in and starts telling the truth. It's different. I'm not talking about the overbearing conspiracy theorist. Those things get a little excessive. You got to be really careful about what you're drinking. In other words, what information you're getting, because everyone's like, Trump's coming back. Well, I hope to the Lord he is. But he's not coming back in this bizarre way that everyone thinks. And I've heard this again from an incredibly intelligent and well-to-do individual recently. You know, I think that Charlie, whatever his name is, started pushing this stuff and getting all these huge hits on YouTube. And Trump would not come back the way these people think. He's not coming back with the cavalry of part of the U.S. military and all this stuff. He is a very brilliant man. There is no doubt. He's a terrific businessman. My understanding is a New York court ruled that they had access to his taxes and a bunch of other documents from when he was president, which is, by the way, a complete and total violation of executive privilege. And he wisely has them at Mar-a-Lago, his house in Florida. Well, Florida's a conservative state, and New York doesn't have the right to make rulings to seize assets or anything like that in Florida, praise the Lord. They got to lay off. I mean, today I'm listening. I abuse myself. I listen to news I shouldn't, because I listen to left. Not just left wing, trust me. But I want to hear it. Just because I'm always like, do you got anything smart to say today? And the answer is usually no. But today I'm sitting here listening to this gal on CNN talk. You know what, the problem, just so you know, just so I can tell you so you don't have to watch it yourself, the problems with Putin going into Ukraine, that's all Trump. I'm being sarcastic, please understand. Facetious. This is what they're saying. It's always Trump. Trumpity, Trump, Trump, Trump. Bad, bad Trump. Mean Trump. Evil Trump. Are they really looking out for the best interests of our nation, or are they really, really sore losers? Because even though Trump hypothetically lost the last election, we all know he won. Everyone knows he won. I mentioned recently Dinesh D'Souza, and no one seems to know who he is, which is kind of a bummer. But he's got this movie coming out called 2,000 Mules, showing literally through phone pings and video provided by local governments, guys that are going ballot box to ballot box, stuffing these things so full that ballots are falling out of them. And they named, you know, one situation, a guy literally went to 53 different locations in the five key states. I mean, come on. But that doesn't alarm the left. I've said for ages, they will want to win at any cost, lie, cheat, steal. And I'm not saying that every Democrat is this way. I really think the people, the followers, are deceived. I'm not saying 50% of America thinks that way, but their leadership does. And they're being deceived, and it's always angry. And now you hear Hillary, it's our democracy. They're threatening our democracy. Our democracy's in jeopardy. First of all, I hate that word because we're not a democracy, we're a republic. The democratic form of election is how we choose our representatives, and then our representatives choose legislation. Now they're coming out with information. You know, you've got Justin Trudeau in Canada, who just a year ago was on there talking about how much he supports truckers and the truckers are the real workers of his country and blah, 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 and he's a socialist. And now the truckers unite and say, stop the vaccine mandate. How hard is that? Stop telling us that we have to have a foreign substance injected into our bodies, which, by the way, there's a plethora of scientific evidence showing heinous, hideous, horrible things that occur because of this shot. I mean, there's no doubt, no question that it's apolitical. People don't have to be on one side of the fence or the other. It's just facts. What I'm beckoning everyone to do is just be objective. Be fair, be true, be right, be genuine, be sincere, be real. Get rid of your agenda. Granted, bias isn't bad because the man upstairs named God, he's biased because he's right. He is what he is. He is the I am. But you can be a believer and have bias and still be wise. Believers invented the scientific hypothesis, the scientific method. And it's all about being completely objective. They go into these studies. I remember even back in the 80s, we found the special X chromosome that creates homosexuality. Well, oops, sorry, mistake later on. But does the media ever tell you that? No. They tell you, Lucy, well, there's proof of evolution because we found Lucy. That thing's been debunked and, you know, disassembled so many different ways that anyone who knows anything about science knows it's not true. And I still hear people say this. It was like a human body mixed with a monkey and who knows? I can't even remember. And actually a couple bones from a pig. You know, and they can't, you've got to be unbiased and honest with yourselves. Just be objective. Look for the truth, no matter the cost. Truth, you know, you read the book of Proverbs and it is all about the value of wisdom. Nonstop. It's the most valuable thing that you can even fathom. Wisdom. And it's what you should desire more than anything, it says. More than silver and gold. See, if everybody, all they cared about is wisdom, I'd go out of business. I'm kind of kidding. But no, because if you seek wisdom, you would seek what we provide. And what we provide is a financial stability and financial, you know, peace of mind. That's what God did. He created precious metals from the beginning of time. And they've been the substantial primary form of wealth in the history of mankind. It isn't, we've got this stock market mentality. Well, you know, if I buy Bitcoin and it goes up 1,000,000%, I can turn my $2 into $100 trillion or whatever, you know. Yeah, that always works, guys. That is really a great investment strategy. You don't do that. Just, I promise you, I've been around the block. I used to sit late at night when I was in banking, when I was managing, and I could pull query lists from around the entire nation of all our clientele by income. And I used to look at who had the dough just because it was fun. And it was also insightful. And I kind of was like trying to find the secret weapon to get there. Honest. But it was people that 99.7, whatever, I'm just making that up, but a lot, most all of them, it was the old-fashioned way, brick by brick. Maybe they were, you know, in some cases attorneys, and I think 9 out of 10 of those are not my favorite. And, you know, and doctors would be doing well. CEOs of corporations, self-employed, but people brick by brick. I knew when I was in banking, I met lottery winners. And in a lot of cases, they blow it all. They go bankrupt. It's super common. You know, which is the whole concept of getting a windfall profit that isn't earned. Unearned income comes with a curse. God says as he provides wealth, with it comes responsibility. That's the way you want it. That's the way I want it. I want to serve the Lord. He tells us money or gold and silver is money. You go through the Bible, okay, there's only the only things that are biblically attributed as true wealth. That's why my show is called True Wealth. Gold and silver, livestock, real estate, human life, precious stones, period. And I've gone through the litany of it with you. Precious stones, you know, you can get nice diamonds, will help you out there. But you get in all the fancy stuff, it's really hard. They're not liquid. They have value, but they're not liquid. Gold and silver is basically a sector of our industry. And there's a number of products that fit that category, obviously. And I've mentioned livestock. You can have chickens and pigs and whatever. You can, that's a wealth because they grow, but you got to put something into them. You got to take care of them. Anything that eats and poops is a lot of work. Just saying. Then, of course, real estate, it's gone bonkers and berserk, which is another sign of what true inflation is doing. Real estate's good, but you got to take care of it. If you don't, it ends up looking like a trash heap. I think some of you might be aware of that. But you also have to pay taxes, which is completely unfair and unjust. You know that the tax assessed values of properties in Spokane have doubled in the last 4 years. That means you're paying double the tax. So basically, if you paid, say, $300,000 for a home, which is a lot, 10 years ago, I don't care, say $200,000. And your taxes in general are about 1%, that's $2,000 a year. But now that's $600,000. I know I said doubled in the last 4 years, but I have friends and relatives that overall they've tripled in the last 7 or 8. Whatever you want to use for figures, you get my point. You're buying your home back from the local government repetitively. You never own it. You can never rest, okay? I mean, granted, I'm all for real estate. I think you should have it. But it's a lot of work and it takes time. Human life, that category, did I miss that when I went gold and silver, livestock, real estate, human life, precious stones? I think I might have missed human life. Human life is the ability for us as humans to create wealth. We're God's only creation that creates wealth. That's why godless, evil, communist nations create slaves. Because they're stealing the God-given wealth-creating ability of mankind. It's pure, it's the most heinous form of theft imaginable. And you know, numerous people in leadership of those nations are going to be, you know, lined up to the hellfire. You just don't treat people that way. God's creation says everything about you. Those people don't want to spend eternity with God. I've heard people, why would you want to worship a God like that? You know, well, because if it's a God like that, he's so powerful and he can do all these things, why would you want to worship him? Because he's so powerful and he can do all these things, you know? You got to fear the Lord, it tells us, is the beginning of knowledge. And then it tells us, like in Proverbs, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. That's how you get true knowledge. That's why our founders created the scientific method correctly. Then the next thing it says is, fools despise wisdom and instruction. People who don't like to be told what to do and they're not seeking wisdom, they're fools. We should crave wisdom more than anything. The Bible tells us that. I can name, you know, there's a lot of them. Proverbs 18:15, an intelligent heart acquires knowledge. Think about that. And it says, and the ear of the wise seeks knowledge. The ear of the wise is looking and listening. And Proverbs tells us it's everywhere. Wisdom is all around you, all the time. You can constantly be learning all the time. You can plug yourself into one resource and have someone pumping some conspiracy into your head, but that's not seeking wisdom. It's seeking some knowledge. You got to be careful what you're pumping into your head. But God gives wisdom, and all knowledge and understanding comes from God. That's who he is. So, obviously, that's what we should crave and seek, right? Trust me, it's good stuff. So here's the deal I was talking about earlier. Ukraine's relevant. Here's why. Putin, if you look at what's been happening, Biden gets into office. So let's back up. You get Trump into office. They poured hate on that man. He was persecuted greater than any man ever. Persecuted more than Christ. I mean, he wasn't flogged and beaten and crucified, but they sure would have loved to. The persecution and lies were the worst ever in the history of mankind, hands down, bar none. They should be ashamed of themselves, to put it lightly, right? So he runs this country, this mess. He kept talking about the swamp. He was going to clean it up. And they start screaming and yelling and just clanging and banging and throwing. And, you know, I talked recently about 1 Corinthians 13, where about love, where Paul starts out and goes, you know, if I speak with the tongue of angels, yet have not love, I'm a clanging cymbal and whatever else, or a gong, a loud gong. Isn't that what the left did to Trump? They started just yelling and screaming and banging and clanging and, you know, just destroying him. So under that level of pressure, from every angle, he did more than any president ever. This country is so messed up in so many ways, especially economically and financially. So he gets all this work done. Then you get Biden, who comes in, who's basically pretty close to brain dead. And he just starts to disassemble. What CEO would you put into a company to follow the last CEO and just start to tear the company down and rip it apart? What kind of foolishness is that? That is the most extreme, heinous foolishness imaginable. It's disgusting. But yet the people, because they've been trained to hate the prior CEO of the nation, they're all in. And the CEO, the new CEO, Biden, it's like, open the doors of the company. Let everybody come in. Let them ransack us. Give all our products away for free. You know, he's just bankrupting the nation. There's no way that this would ever be tolerated in a corporation, even on a fractional level at this pace. People are being fed lies by the Zuckerbergs and all this. Folks, these guys want you lost and foolish. I've watched women. I've spoken to a friend whose wife stopped going to church and became extremely liberal because of stupid Facebook, social media. She was on it every night. And she got connected with these little groups of people and she wanted to fit in. She's not even face to face with them. If they were face-to-face, it'd be a completely different experience. It's not good, right? Biden comes in, starts tearing stuff down. What's he do? Tears out the Keystone Pipeline. Like, it's terrible that we're energy independent. All in the name of climate change. The Green Deal. That's coming next. The new Green Deal. This man is bound and determined to destroy this nation. And I'll put this out again. You need to have a solid base in precious metals-based assets. I don't care what you say. I don't care what some broker tells you or whatever. You need it. It's the only financial vehicle that's going to last. The Bible tells us throughout. It's important to God all the way throughout. It's all over heaven. People always say, well, the streets of heaven are paved in gold. There's a lot more references than that, folks, about heaven. And then it tells us you're going to be casting your gold and silver in the streets on the day of wrath, the final day. People are, you know, that's one people don't read deep enough. When I saw that three times in the Bible, I'm like, Lord, why are you throwing this in there? He's telling us that's the one form of currency that's going to last until the final gong rings or bell, whatever you want to call it, period. And then just to clarify, he lets you know we know very little about heaven. But we do know there's so much gold there that it matters to God. It's simple, folks. It's not complicated. And it isn't like I was talking earlier about the stock market mentality. Well, XYZ stock has been racing up like this and that. And it's paper. You're giving your money to a private corporation or a mutual fund company, and it's paper. And people are so much times comfortable with this so many times, it blows my mind. Precious metals you can hold personally. People are like, well, I got my 401k, I got my IRA. Yeah, get it out. Roll it out. Get it into metals. And the performance of metals is not unimpressive. And we have hyperinflation hitting us hard, okay? So I talked about Biden disassembles the Keystone Pipeline and gives billions of dollars to Putin to build his Nord Stream 2 pipeline, which is designed to circumvent Ukraine. Now here, let me throw this at you. Ukraine denuclearized. They don't have any powerful weapons. Why? Because we, the United States of America, forced them to do it, and we promised them they would always be our ally and we would always protect them. They were nuclearizing because Russia's always hated them, and he wants them back. You know, and it's all going back in time. You know, Putin's like, well, if you step way back in time, we had all these colonies, and well, now you don't. And we should not, as a nation, sit back while these other nations are destroying sovereign nations. We just can't. I don't want to go to war. No one wants to go to war. I don't want kids going to war. And if you don't want your kids going to war, they don't have to. So far, we haven't had a draft. But we know what the Bible says about the end times. It's going to get ugly. And we need to be protecting our cause and our beliefs and the people. You have to empathize. You got to put yourself in the shoes. How do these people in Ukraine feel? Now, here's the next thing. Putin goes into Ukraine. What happens when he rolls through Ukraine and starts to go to Hungary and Poland? And all of a sudden, we've got a Hitlerian movement, Nazi Germany. And then we got Biden. I guarantee you, Biden can't strategize to fight a war for the life of him. So where is he going to get his advice? From a bunch of liberal generals, the few that exist, which, by the way, there's very few. So he's got no good military counsel. He's got a bunch of crazy, you know, minority women around him that are radicalized to an extreme. And Obama, I mean, these guys are nuts. They don't know what they're playing with. They want to line their pockets and get out of there with $1 billion, and it's not going to matter if they let it all collapse around them. Putin's getting all of his money from these pipelines. And, you know, and what's in Biden, if you recall, Biden, you know, had the Hunter Biden, the whole scandal with Ukraine, and what were they doing? You know, Trump was on the phone with Ukraine, and they, you know, falsely accused him of everything, and supposedly, you know, these mock trials, and it's unbelievable. What happens when the tanks, like I said, start hitting these other countries? And this whole climate change thing, they're using for everything, okay? You got to think about this stuff, and you got to think economically and financially. Hyperinflation is a real thing, more than ever. Clinton removed major components of food, transportation, real estate, and energy costs from the Consumer Price Index in the 90s. I have a friend I've mentioned that was a professor, and then he was on the CPI board, and he left under, you know, ethical objection because of what had happened. We're not getting true inflation figures at all. I guarantee you, folks, we've got a fireball coming. I don't care what direction we turn. We got a lot of years left with this guy. And it's not just politics. It's reality. This is the most destructive individual that's taken over the White House. You know, he's almost like in a demonic trance. He doesn't even know what he's doing. And all these people are scattering around him, just tearing us apart. They've got their agenda. You got Jen Psaki, who's the head propagandist, who just stands there and twists her words and lies. I'd say the next election we should call it, put him to bed, lock her up, and send her to the border or something, you know? If you know what that means, fine. If you don't. Hillary's on fire. She's just full of vitriol. So I'm wrapping time again. What's new? I'm begging you, get yourself, just come in. We're good at it. Call us, whatever. Phones are a little hard to get through now and then, but we'll take good care of you, I promise. It's what we do. You want something solid. You want your money in granite, not paper. So I don't mean real granite. I mean metals are granite. But anyway, you know, give us 3 good reviews online, and we'll give you a couple silver dollars. Give us a call. Take care. God bless. Have a wonderful night. Thanks. Bye-bye.